Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, Peter's quite generous, isn't he? I mean, he's kind, somewhat better at forgiveness than you are. I mean, you're incredibly nervous about and allergic to forgiving people that sin against you, aren't you? Because you know that if you forgive them, they'll take advantage of you. You know that if you forgive them, you think that you'll lose power over them. And so now you've become experts at grudge holding and scorekeeping. You've become major leaguers when it comes to withholding forgiveness. I know, because I'm one of those grudge holding, scorekeeping unforgivers too. There are people in your lives and in the church that you love to hate, aren't there? People that you genuinely take pleasure in not forgiving. And you don't lose a bit of sleep over it at all. Peter, however, goes above and beyond the call of duty. He's willing to forgive a brother up to a point, even up to 7 times. But after that, Peter draws the line. No more forgiveness after 7 times. Forgiveness for people runs out after a certain amount of sinning. Right, Lord? And you're all in with Peter's way of dealing with sinners, aren't you? Well, of course you are. And that's when Jesus opens his mouth to preach. And when Jesus preaches on this topic, you'd better get ready to be blown away. Big time. Seriously, especially if you are a habitual unforgiver or addicted to the heroin-like high of unforgiveness. Forgive, Jesus says, not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. In other words, when someone sins against you, forgive him. Every time, no matter how often. No limit to forgiveness. Don't be a party pooper. Unforgiver, ever. And to clinch the point with Peter and with you, Jesus tells a story, a parable of how it goes with the mercy of the kingdom of heaven. That is to say, how Jesus lords his Good Friday dying over who? Sinners. The story goes like this. A king wants to settle accounts, balance, and close the books. And lo and behold, there is a high security level J.P. Morgan Chase Bank of America-like servant that owes His Majesty 10,000 talents. 1 talent in Jesus' day was 6,000 denarii. A denarius was a day's fair wage. So, 10,000 talents equals 60,000 denarii, or 60,000 working days' wages. Count it up how many years that is. And this guy owes 10,000 of them. Literally in the Greek, it's myriads. Millions. Millions upon millions of dollars in today's money. An impossibly repayable debt. It's kind of like federal government debt kind of money. That's what we're talking about here. And so the servant falls down on his knees and audaciously begs for what? Notice in the text that he begs for time. Time to put off the last judgment, to stall the final hammer blow and the eternal prison. Be patient with me, master, and I'll pay you back. Yeah, right. Not possible. What an idiot. Now, what would you do with such a servant? You'd show him no mercy. You'd do your best to cut your losses and get what you could. You'd liquidate all the loser's assets and sell him, his wife, his children into slavery and everything that he has just to recoup a little bit of the debt. Now, is that what the king does? No, he's not like you. He does the absolute unthinkable, the unfathomable, and what many people would say, the most reckless thing of all. He goes against all sound fiscal principles and business rules. He pulls He pulls a kingdom of heaven thing. And what's that? Wait for it. Wait for it. He has, wait for it. He has compassion on the deadbeat debtor. The text says that he releases him and forgives him the entire debt, or as I like to say, the whole enchilada of it. His Highness tears up the note with black ink, and in all caps, His Majesty writes in the royal books, paid in full. The king dies to any and every kind of royal accounting and scorekeeping. All is forgiven. And now the servant is a free man, given a new life. Life from the dead, if you will. He is given salvation. Forgiven and free, let's call him. Forgiven and free, hasn't even rubbed off the dust from his knees when he hunts down his friend, let's call him Buddy, on the street. Buddy owes forgiven and free 100 denarii. Well, that's pocket change. It's gumball machine change. Not even Ameristar slot machine kind of money. It's a pittance or a trifle. And no doubt, forgiven and free tracks down Buddy to graciously forgive Buddy as he has been forgiven, right? I mean, that's what you'd think, but that's where you're dead wrong. Forgiven and free goes to settle a score like a Tony Soprano, as if he's never been forgiven anything and that the king that has forgiven him is nothing but a greedy tyrant. He grabs Buddy by the throat and demands the loose change immediately. Pay back what you owe me! As if he could then take the money and begin to pay back the king. Buddy's plea for patience and the promise to pay forgiven and free back fall on deaf ears. Forgiven and free has his friend Buddy thrown into prison until the debt is paid in full. No mercy, no forgiveness. And His Majesty gets wind of this unfortunate turn of events. He's absolutely befuddled and outraged at forgiven and free. Calls him in and says, "You evil, wicked servant. I forgave you everything because you begged me to, and now look at you. I don't know who you are. You're an out-and-out unforgiver. A wretched piece of unforgiving trash." Now, if that's what you're going to do with my amazing grace, then you can go straight to... And the king does just that. Straight away, he sends free and forgiven to debtor's prison until he pays off all the debt. Now, by the way, folks, do you know that's precisely what hell is like? Hell is where unforgivers get to pay off their debt forever and ever. But Jesus isn't done. I mean, he throws the payoff pitch. And it's this. Listen carefully. "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you unforgivers if you do not forgive your brother from the heart." Did Jesus just say that? Yes, he did. Bluntly, frankly, truly. To do what? To convict you chronic unforgivers. To kill and to crush your hardened unforgiving hearts. To repent you. To turn you from your unforgiveness. So that His Good Friday forgiveness for you would then flow into you and then through you to those people in your life that have sinned against you. Jesus would save you today from your deadly and hellacious addiction to unforgiveness. After all, seriously, after all, who really gets hurt in unforgiveness? Newsflash, everyone, it's you who decline to forgive. You are only harming yourself when you will not forgive those who sin against you. Unforgiveness, brothers and sisters, is the most deadly spiritual cancer that eats away at your bones, your family, your congregation, and your community. Unforgiveness demeans you. It robs you of vitality and joy. It diminishes you. It makes you small and it makes Jesus even smaller. Marriages go down the tubes when husbands and wives will not forgive each other daily. Families break apart at the seams when parents and children do not forgive each other. Our congregation, yes, our congregation is hurt immensely when we are at each other's throats, when we hold secret grudges for years against our brothers or sisters and forget to live by God's mercy for us in Christ Jesus. Unforgiveness is the hardening of the heart. It is a mega clog in the artery of your faith. The back pressure is deadly and destructive. When you refuse to forgive, you put yourself in opposition to God, and you destroy your own desire to be forgiven. I have noticed for years now as a pastor that people who harbor hardcore grudges rarely, if ever, are found on their knees confessing their sin before God. Score settlers and bookkeepers of every wrong rarely, if ever, recognize the score that God settled when he hung his son graveyard dead on the cross to pay the ultimate price for their sinfulness. Those who refuse to be reconciled with other people usually, generally speaking, refuse to be reconciled with God himself. Unforgiveness, I don't know, but I'm trying to teach you this. I hope this is helpful. Unforgiveness is also a form of slavery because it restricts the freedom that Jesus has won for you. It restricts the freedom that Jesus has won for you. When you do not forgive those that sin against you, you know what you do? Here's what you do. You give them control. You give them control over your emotions, your decisions, and your actions. They then run your life. They then become your lords, that you serve them with your grudges, your hostility, and your hatred. Now, brothers and sisters, the word forgive means to set free, to cut loose, to dismiss. When something is forgiven, it no longer has power. When a debt is forgiven, it no longer has claim over your money. When sin is forgiven, it loses its power to condemn. When you refuse to forgive others, you chain yourself to them by the power of their sin in a perverse and destructive bond that ties up your freedom as the free and forgiven children of God. We heard it in the text. Jesus says, forgive your brother from the heart. To forgive your brother from the heart, as Jesus declares, is an act of the will. Now, here's something really important, and I hope you're listening. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Did you hear that? The essence of forgiveness is not how you feel, but what you say. Namely, the words, I forgive you. Your actions then will be shaped by those words. Forgiveness means that you do not return evil for evil, anger for anger, and sin for sin. You do not do to others what they have done to you. When God forgives you, he does not act on your sin. He does not damn you as your sin deserved. Why? Because he has damned your sin, all of it, in the Good Friday dead body of his son Jesus. Now I want to make another point, and it's this. To forgive is not to forget. To forgive does not mean to forget. We hear this all the time, but it's wrong. You should be able to forget if you forget. And this is nonsense. To forgive does not mean to forget. The king did not forget one moment the debt that he had forgiven. Absolution is not amnesia. God does not forget the sins that he forgives. Instead, God refuses to act on them because he remembers that he has already acted on them, done them to death in the Good Friday death of Jesus. God doesn't get even with you because Jesus evened you up to God by offering his perfect life in your place. So also, you do not necessarily forget what you forgive. I mean, how can a person forget adultery, murder, or some other kind of violence, like maybe the Ray Rice kind of violence? How could Joseph ever forget what his brothers did to him? Forgiveness means that you don't act on the sin and try to get even. The authorities will act on it in order to prosecute and punish such sin, if it's criminal sin, for your good and society's good, as we learned last week from Romans 13. But you won't act on it, and that's what it means to forgive from the heart. You won't act on it. Well, I've got to finish this sermon with a flurry. My goodness, the sermons lately have sure been long, and I hope you don't mind. So here goes. The parable that Jesus told you today, listen carefully, the parable that Jesus told you today was never intended to make you feel good about yourself. If you thought going to church today was to make you feel good, you've got another thing coming. Jesus instead told you the parable to knock you off the high horse of your self-righteousness so that he can put you on the humble donkey of his crucified righteousness. And now finally, no one is able to forgive in the perfect 70 times 7 way that Jesus demands. Whatever you do, it will never be enough. Whether 3 times, 7 times, or 489 times, you will never achieve that perfect 70 times 7. Only Jesus forgives that way. He forgave his own people that plotted against him in order to kill him. He forgave the soldiers that beat him to a pulp and spat on him, that pulled his beard and flogged him. He absolved those sinners who wanted him dead by saying, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what in the world they're doing." And so he forgives you too. You who have sinned against him. Yeah, it's true. You're forgiven. And with his forgiveness, there's always more. It's like a flood. It just keeps coming and coming. You'll hear it and be given his forgiveness in the sacrament today, where he says, "I tell you, it's given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." Now, in the strength of such divine, unlimited, and perfect forgiveness, Jesus then does what with you? He sends you as his instruments of what? His instruments of forgiveness. Conduits of his undeserved kindness to sinners whom you live with every day, to let his forgiveness flow as freely as you have been forgiven. And so, brothers and sisters, happy being forgiven today, and happy forgiving those who sin against you. In the name of Jesus, amen.